Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Before the terrorist attacks, one of the pressing international issues for the U.S. Congress in the months ahead was trade. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is an international trade deal between a dozen countries, including the United States. The thing runs 30 chapters, totaling over 5,000 pages, covering trade from autos to kimonos to mobile phone roaming charges. The final proposed text was released earlier this month, and Congress likely will vote on it early next year. South Florida Republican Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart is among those examining the deal.
You know, you can't have free trade with a country where there are no human rights, when there's no freedom.
Diaz-Balart is referring specifically to one of the 12 countries involved in the deal, a country that has been subject to a U.S. trade embargo in the past. But it was lifted 20 years ago, and the Vietnamese economy has taken off. Its relationship supporters of American relations with Cuba have pointed to as an example of what U.S. commerce can do for an economy. But Diaz-Balart is not impressed.
Vietnam is a dictatorship where independent labor unions are not permitted, where political parties are not allowed, where there is no freedom of press, where people cannot get organized. Again, it's a one-party rule, and so free trade with a government that enslaves its people is just frankly not possible. So that is the first and a very large objection that I have. That's a very difficult one for me to deal with, and one that I don't see how I can deal with. Again, I have voted for free trade deals in the past with free people. But you cannot have free trade with people who are enslaved by their own governments. Giving that special treatment, that special condition to a brutal dictatorship is something that I obviously cannot go along.
You're, of course, talking about Vietnam. In this hemisphere, that would describe Cuba.
Absolutely. And I think trade is important. It is something that can help our economy. But if you're dealing with nations and governments, I should say regimes that enslave their people, where people don't have the right to unionize, to organize, to strike, to demonstrate, again, no freedom of press, and therefore no voice for the people to express their opinions and their grievances, and then free trade is just not possible. And then you're dealing with slave trade, and that is not something that I'm willing to be part of.
In the meantime, the Obama administration continues to push forward with a number of policies toward Cuba that go beyond, some would argue, around the trade embargo. We're also seeing plenty of companies that have a big presence in South Florida wanting to continue to engage there, especially on the transportation side. American Airlines is looking forward to trying to get regularly scheduled commercial air flights into Cuba. And, of course, Carnival Corporation and the other cruise lines are trying to advance for more cruising opportunities into Cuba. Do you support those efforts by South Florida-based enterprises, or at least those companies that have a presence here, to engage economically with that island?
A couple points on that. Number one is that the law is still there. The sanctions, the economic sanctions, remain in place. Number two is that Congress, and the House in particular, has spoken very loudly. And on the two industries and the two issues that you just mentioned, which is regular flights to and from the island and cruise ships going to the island, there is language in multiple appropriations bills in the House. And as you know, the appropriations bills are the ones that have to become law. And they're now being negotiated, but there is language, multiple pieces of, again, different language and multiple appropriations bills that deal with, frankly, not allowing those things to actually happen. So I think it's premature for anybody to think that those things are going to happen, because Congress obviously has shown, and we've had votes, by the way, on the floor of the House of Representatives, where we have had very strong bipartisan opposition to what President Obama is doing, and frankly, on the issue of either regular flights or on cruise ships going there, there have actually been votes on the floor of the House on that, and the body, in a very strong bipartisan way, has rejected that from potentially happening. So that's point number one. Point number two is that the law right now is that anybody who, if there is business dealings with on the island of Cuba, and if it's on a property that was stolen, confiscated from Americans, and there are billions and billions of dollars of properties that were confiscated from Americans, the law says that you could sue that company that is now doing business on that stolen property in U.S. courts. The President of the United States has the authority to waive that every 6 months, and this President obviously has waived that every 6 months. But risking the fact that knowing that this President is going to be there for a year and a half, and then we're going to have a new President, I think one of the reasons you're not seeing that many businesses investing is precisely because they don't think it's a good deal, because it's risky, they might get sued in U.S. courts. And I think the biggest risk is that you're dealing with the Castro regime that is known to incarcerate, imprison, enslave, and confiscate from those who do invest in the island. So which is why you're seeing not that much interest, as I think President Obama would have liked to see, as from the private sector investing in the island. And again, because it's highly risky, and because the U.S. Congress has already demonstrated that there's going to be a lot of pushback with legislation, including in the appropriations bills, to stop President Obama from allowing some of the concessions that he's been trying to give to the Castro regime.
And let me ask you about those appropriations bills coming from a committee that you sit on. When you talk about language that would ban regularly scheduled commercial flights or prohibit cruise ship activity from the United States into Havana Harbor and elsewhere, is that language coming from your office, Congressman?
There are actually, there's over a dozen different provisions in about half a dozen of the appropriations bills that deal with Cuba. Some of them are, for example, not allowing, not doing business with the oppressive machinery in Cuba. In other words, the military and the intelligence services, that's a bit of a no-brainer. Other language that is in the bill that the subcommittee that I chair, that in essence says that you can't do business on cruise ships, for example, cannot do business on property that was confiscated from American citizens. I think very few people would argue that that's not something that the United States should stand for. The United States has always stood for property rights and to protect the American citizens. So there are about half, again, in about half of a dozen of the appropriations bills of the 12, about six of them have very strong language, including the two provisions that I just mentioned, and there are many other provisions in those appropriations bills. There is also stand-alone legislation, including one bill sponsored by the chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the House. Also, the Defense Armed Services Committee in the House, along with the subcommittee chairman of appropriations that deals with intelligence and defense, those three individuals and many others have sponsored stand-alone legislation so that we don't prop up anti-American terrorist state. It remains a terrorist state, even though President Obama, and in another concession to the Castro regime, arbitrarily took it off the list of states that sponsor terrorism.
Well, the State Department suggested that happen, and they did that given the criteria of the six-month window in which state sponsors of terrorism need to have sponsored terrorism. According to the State Department,
correct,
that wasn't the case.
That is reviewed, and you know, again, 6 months ago, the same Department of State, under the same criteria, established that it is a state sponsor of terrorism, and as it has been for a number of years. The only thing that's changed on the island is that the repression has been escalating. And now that we have more spy ships 90 miles away, more Russian spy ships, and there have been press reports about how it seems that the folks who determined that from the Department of State were pressured, potentially pressured by the administration, and that their opinion was disregarded by higher-ups, the political higher-ups, and again, not only in the issue of state-sponsored terrorism, but also on the human trafficking issues.
Congressman, I know we've been talking about economic issues. Let me ask you about immigration issues when it comes to Cuba, because the South Florida Sun Sentinel newspaper, as you are aware, has been detailing abuses of the Cuban Readjustment Act, allowing Cubans to travel back and forth almost really freely between the United States and the island, collecting U.S. government program money, Social Security, also committing cases of fraud, insurance fraud in some cases. Is it time to sunset the Cuban Readjustment Act?
You know, a couple points. Number one is you have seen a dramatic increase of the abuse precisely because of Obama's new policy vis-a-vis Cuba. You know, is there always some abuse? Absolutely. There is, unfortunately, in just about every government program and every government service. But you've seen a dramatic escalation in that because of President Obama's concessions to the Castro regime. Furthermore, what I think the Sun Sentinel has to be commended on I think, some very good journalism and actually reviewing the cases of fraud and abuse, and including, by the way, potentially fraud and abuse of taxpayers' money. So a couple things. There's one bill in Congress to just in essence get rid of the entirety of the Cuban Adjustment Act.
Would you support that?
Well, I think here's the issue. Have the conditions that warranted the Cuban Adjustment Act in the first place diminished or changed? And I would argue, and I think most people would argue, that the conditions have not improved. What has changed, precisely because of President Obama's policy changes vis-a-vis Cuba, what has changed is the level of abuse has dramatically increased. So we would, again, if you want to stop the abuse, there are two things that should be done. Number one is reverse President Obama's policies that have led to the massive increase of that abuse, of taxpayer abuse, and frankly, of irresponsible activity. And number two, and I think you're going to, in a very short order, see legislation to deal with at least the issue of, again, for example, welfare-type payments that are going to folks that, frankly, either don't merit those payments or who are abusing that and wasting taxpayer money. Congressman Carlos Curbelo from Southern Florida is leading the effort to try to curtail that abuse. Again, there are two ways to do that. First and foremost would be for President Obama to reverse his ill-advised policies that have created, by the way, and increased the abuse dramatically. And the correlation is very easy to see. You see President Obama's changing of his policy, and then immediately you see the dramatic increases of waste and abuse taking place because of that. And again, I told you we're already going to be pushing back on a lot of those things in Congress. The second part, however, we think we can do as a standalone congressional action on its own, which is to try to stop some of those abuses of benefits. And so I think in very short order, you're going to see legislation, again, headed by Congressman Curbelo. But again, we've been meeting with him, and a number of us, a group of us, not only from South Florida, from other parts of the country, have been looking at that to try to curtail the abuse that has dramatically increased precisely because of President Obama's new policies vis-a-vis Cuba.
South Florida Republican Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart.